Father Clark, thank you very much for your hospitality and your kind words. And for all of you who are here at All Angels, it's a pleasure to see you once again and to find to be here on a Sunday. And I appreciate in the past, we've not always been able to accommodate you on a Sunday, but this year was your day. So I'm glad to be back and to be in your midst again. I'm most inspired by your singing. I said this yesterday through when I was in Centerville out of Ascension, how truly Anglicans have a sense of devoutness and devotedness to their singing. And it really is. You really have called, you have a good title for this church, this parish, All Angels, because you all sing like angels. I think that that our voices who sing these words that our fathers, the church fathers, have given to us to sing are so beautiful and remarkable. And you do them with honor and dignity, and that is truly much appreciated. And I know our Father in heaven appreciates it as well. So keep up the good work. You're doing great. And then Matthew 13, it says, verse 30, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. And may the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my God, and my Redeemer.
Amen.
I'm reminded of a Charlie Brown cartoon. You know, sermon stories go around pretty well, and there's probably not a sermon in any clergyman's repertoire than talking about Charlie Brown. And most of you here know who Charlie Brown is. But if you're under the age of 20, you probably don't have a clue. But maybe you do. Anyways, in Charlie Brown cartoon, in which Charlie says, our generation has been given the works. And all the world's problems are being shoved at us. What do you think we should do? Says Charlie. And Linus says, stick the next generation. Truly, this idea, I think, is among us as well. When you think about our national debt and about the challenges that our country has faced, we sort of want to stick it to the next generation, you know. We want to keep it going. I suspect that George Bernard Shaw was correct when he said, the worst in sin toward our fellow creatures is not to hate them, but to be indifferent to them. That's the essence of inhumanity, indifference. But if we are to think clearly about what it is that we are about in this life, then we must truly consider our position in the reality in which we exist. Many years ago, when I was a chaplain, we put together a lecture to give to students who were going through some basic courses up in Rhode Island. And we came up with a story. And the story that we wanted to share with them was, how do you understand the world in which you have been given? What is your world? When we look at the tares, and we look at the wheat, and this gentleman goes and says, someone criminal, some enemy has scattered the weeds into our tares. And somebody took and looked at the world that they had been given. The next idea was, well, if this is the world we have been given, what kind of world do you want to create? What do you want to make with what you are and who you are? And then once you've figured out what you are, who you are and what you want to be, the true question is, how do you want to pass it on to the next generation? How do we take what we have created and be assured that once it is passed on, it will not be corrupted by the weeds? What memory things do you pass along in which people can go and venerate and look at and say, this man did something. This woman honored this person. How do we pass it on? These are the messages of the tares. We look at the reality in which we have been given and what do we exist in. But I think we cannot live outside its dangers, nor its fears. And so I think it is necessary that we rid ourselves of the idea that if something is or may be dangerous or fearsome, we should be terribly preoccupied with it and upset about it. We should seriously question the real dangers about the things that we fear and see what the actual possibilities or the probabilities, if you will, of their occurring or leading to terribly dreadful consequences if they do occur. And so we, the weak, live among the tares, not in fear, but we grow and we become vibrant in who we are. And so if we are to live a solid spiritual Christian life, sometimes we simply have to accept certain inevitable dangers and risks that go with this contemporary life. Especially our assumption that we must always please others and achieve remarkably well. And it's nice to be, I think, the best, and to appear that all is on our side and perfect bliss is just around the corner. But however, most of the time it is not so. But we must attempt to live peaceably with that which is ugly. True morality for the human race is when a caring, sharing person helps even one another individual to live a better life. And so there are certain places that this can begin, I think. And you have started. You have stepped forward. There's a story about two brothers. Similar stories are like this that I want to share with you. Two brothers worked together on a family farm. And one was unmarried and the other married with children. And they shared what they grew equally, as always did, produce and profit. But one day, the single brother said to himself, "You know, it is not right that I should share the produce equally and profit to myself. After all, I am alone, just by myself, and my needs are simple. But there is this my poor brother with a wife and all these children." And so in the middle of the night, he took his sack and grain and from his bin, crept over and field between their houses, and he dumped into the brother's bin. And meanwhile, unknown to him, his brother had the same thought. And he said to himself, "It is not right that we should share produce and profit equally. After all, I am married and I have my wife to look after me and my children for years to come. But my brother, my poor brother, no one can take care of his future." And so he too, in the middle of the night, took and taking a sack of grain from his bin and sneaking across the field to deposit into his brother's. And both were puzzled for years as to why their supply did not dwindle. Well, one night, it just so happened that both set out for each other's house at the same time. And in the dark, they bumped into each other carrying their sacks. Each was startled. But then it slowly dawned on them what was happening. They dropped their sacks and embraced one another. And suddenly the dark sky lit up and the voice from heaven spoke. "Here at last is the place where I will build my temple. For where brothers meet in love, there my presence shall dwell. Our God is known in the personal. He is in the world in which we have been given. He is in the world in which we want to create. And he is in the world in which we want to pass on. This is our calling. As long as you did it to the least of these, my brothers, you have done it unto me." We all know that for many of us, it must start with family. Is your family a winning team or a regiment? The kids hardly wait to grow out. Are your marriages and friendships precious? Have you lost touch with the holidays and the anniversaries, the reunions, the parties, getting together with loved ones, their friends, and in the community in which they live. Love your careers, but don't be married to them. Learn to live a well-rounded life. You have to go beyond and do it yourself advice, you know, beyond the plastic surgeon's knife, and live each golden day as if it were your last, building that world that you want to pass on. That's what we're called to do. And if you become so preoccupied with the weeds that are around your life, you always will always find yourself in the land of defeat. Let God do His thing, for He truly is bigger than we are, as you know, and love your neighbor. And I'll leave you this one last story. A pagan once asked a rabbi, by all the things did God choose the humble thorn bush as a place from which to speak with Moses? And the rabbi said, well, if he had chosen a carob tree or a mulberry bush, you would have asked me the same question. And yet it's important, impossible to let you go away empty-handed, the rabbi said. And that is why I am telling you that God chose the humble thorn bush to teach you that there is no place on earth bereft of the divine presence. Mm-hmm. Not even a thorn bush. Believing that the divine presence is a believable reality in the thorn bush challenges us all to believe in the impossible. Believing is the issue. Believing that just because we find ourselves among the tares, the Son of Man has forgotten His harvest. He will come to gather His harvest, and He is weak, and we shall be with Him. May God add His blessing to these words and us to His service. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.